Musically meditated.
Musically meditated. Musically meditated.
Yeah, welcome to episode 16 of Musically Meditated. I'm your host, Joe Riley, here at the Green Door. Shretton, what's up?
What's going on?
How you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're recording at the bookstore, and it's very intimate in here, isn't it?
It's very relaxing.
It is. We're just missing like a Yankee candle or something.
No fires in the bookstore, bro.
No fires? Okay, okay. But yeah, this is episode 16. It's actually a really, really special night, and I'm excited. I know you're excited too, aren't you?
I'm very excited.
And why is that?
Because we have a special guest.
We got a special guest, and there's going to be a live performance.
Yes, there is.
And our special guest tonight is Jason Summerhill. I've known Jason for quite some time. He is a percussionist, correct?
Correct.
Do you like that better than drummer?
I'd probably stick with drummer.
Okay, my bad, dude.
Percussionist makes you sound like you got like conga drums off to
conga
the side.
Conga drums, or like you went to like Berkeley or something?
Yeah, sounds like you're wearing a tie.
A tie? But yeah, this is Jason. He's in a band from Valpo, correct?
Aren't we from Valpo? We're out of Valpo for the most part.
And what's the name of that band?
The band's called Anchors.
Anchors. And how would you describe that music?
Kind of hard to describe, man. That's a really trite thing to say about your band, but...
I tried to, like, on one of my earlier episodes, promoting you guys, like, when you went out live, when I saw you at, what was it, Off Square Brewery in Crown Point, and I described it as, like, an alternative shoegaze. Is that okay?
I think if you threw, like, the harder rockin' Pink Floyd stuff in with, like, early Pumpkins and with, you know, some shoegaze and, like, 90s... alternative rock. It's a weird sound. We're all very, very different musically. Okay. We have very few shared like touchstones, which I think makes the best bands.
It does. And so, you guys live too. I mean, that night when I went, the sound was great. You know, like I think the setup there too at Off Square Brewery was cool. And doesn't the guitarist, isn't he a part of it or something, or his wife, or am I wrong?
Our singer David's wife works there. She's the tap room manager.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's a cool space. It's big, but you know the way bands set up, you can kind of ignore it if you want to.
Yeah. It wasn't like overpowering like the whole time. You could have your beer and eat your food, and you guys were kind of, you were in the back where they do the brewing, so the sound was awesome. I really liked it.
I'm glad that it sounded good out there, because we were kind of nervous because that tank room is so big and the ceilings are like 30 feet high. Weren't really sure.
There's tons of metal.
Yeah, weren't really sure if it was just going to be like an echo chamber nightmare or not. But
no, it worked well. And you also do your own solo stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of new on the scene. But
okay,
yeah,
okay.
I'm playing as much as I can.
Cool, and that's what we're gonna have you do tonight for us, and we're definitely excited. But like I mentioned, I've known you for a long time. And you've been a musician and been in many different bands for at least, what, the last 20 years?
20 years.
Okay. And I remember Darcy. I have to throw that out there real quick. I remember Darcy, and this is me living in the past a little bit, but my Battle of the Bands, you guys beat my band, and I'm still kind of salty about it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And shout out to Jason Sawyer. He told me... he was the bass player, and then you guys kicked him out because you guys had already all graduated. So it was like my senior year, like, we were going to win this, but then you guys come and kick out your bass player and then beat us. I'm still kind of salty about
that. Here's the story. That's funny as hell that you brought that up. We'd played, you know, all the battles and all the talent shows and all that stuff, because there's not a whole lot else to do when you're that age. We always got shafted at Battle of Bands. And I think, personally, I always felt that we were by far the best band. That sounds arrogant, but I really think
we were. You guys are good. You weren't as good as Indica that night. I thought it was kind of fucking rigged. But
like three, four years in a row, we got like either second or third. And it was like the football players that had a band and played like Rage Against the Machine covers. Like, they always won, which I guess at that age, like, that's probably going to win. But... yeah, we all graduated, and I can't remember what like prompted this, but we were sitting around and we're like, you know, we're not going to leave this town without winning that damn Battle of Bands.
Yeah, you had to beat my band. I'm salty.
So we actually we brought a ringer in because we were all out of high school, and one band member had to be a part of the high school. So we brought my buddy's little brother in, and to play bass, and finally won one.
And he asked, not to cut you off, and he asked to use my bass rig. It was Robbie Scheid.
It was...
Wasn't it Robbie Scheid?
No, it was Brad Earhart.
Oh, okay.
It was our guitar player, Nick's little brother.
Okay.
So, yeah, we sort of won that under shady circumstances.
Yeah. And
so I feel kind of bad now. I didn't even...
And after, you know...
I didn't even know you played that
year. Yeah, yeah. Remember my group was Indica. It was me, Wallace, Schaefer, and Jones. Remember Jones's brother that played drums?
Jason or Jeremy?
Jason.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. We covered... It was total rap rock. It was great. Indica was great.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you both play covers?
Yes. I know I did.
Yeah, we played at least one. I think we did...
So what song beat what song?
Well, Wallace did drop an F-bomb during the show, so that immediately disqualified us, so imagine that.
You know, I think I remember that. I don't remember you playing, but I kind of have a foggy memory of that happening.
Because we covered Head Up by Deftones at the end, and it got rowdy. We had like all of our buddies on stage with us too, and like people were on their shoulders. It was like a little mini mosh pit.
Oh my god!
We were definitely like the cool guys, but you guys were like the artistic ones, and you beat us on.
And I thought for sure the cool guys were going to take it again. Right. I thought for damn sure.
It
was going to be an 0-4.
An 0-4. But no, Darcy was good. And what did you do after that? Because like you said, Earhart, he was always a great guitarist. Like I remember Redhead.
Yeah,
I remember
well,
that.
I'll rewind it like just a little bit. I started playing with my best friend DJ when we were kids. We grew up together. The summer of like what 96 or something. We really kind of needed an outlet because we were very very dorky, and caught a lot of shit, and kind of just wanted something to do to keep us off the streets. I guess
the mean streets of Hobart.
Mean streets of Hobart, where bullies were just kind of waiting for us everywhere. So we somehow
struggle is real.
They still are, Joe.
Got like third or fourth hand hand-me-down instruments from somewhere, and like cobbled a band together, and it kind of just took off. Like we were a really good band for being so young. So we played together for a few years, and I wound up in Darcy. I was in Redhead for a little bit, which was kind of like the bastard little brother of Darcy after that band split.
Okay.
Played in a band called Day After Dinosaur when I was a little bit older.
Remember that? I forgot.
And then took a few years off where there really wasn't anything going on. And I got a text from DJ out of the blue after not really talking to him very much for a year or two. And it just said there's a really good band in Valpo that needs a drummer because he was leaving. And... yeah, we met and we jammed and it worked out really, really nicely. So I've been playing with them for 4 years.
Do you think the fact that you've been in so many different bands in the beginning, it was always buddies, and with Anchors, it wasn't necessarily like, was that hard? Is it hard to play with people you don't know?
It really kind of was, man. Cause like I said, we're really, really different people. I mean, we all get along really well and, you know, like rehearsals are fun as hell and stuff, but like musically and otherwise we're really different. So at first, yeah, it was super awkward and, you know, not really knowing anybody very well. But, you know, it worked out.
Yeah, I tip my hat to you for that because I've, you know, jammed and been in bands throughout the years. And I always had like this comfort level with some, you know, there was some friend or somebody in it. Like it was never like complete strangers, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I tip my hat to you for sure. Now fast forwarding to your solo stuff, how did that come about?
Yeah. You know, I picked up guitar a bunch of times over the years and tried really hard to, you know, even get, you know, poor at guitar. And there's something about it that just doesn't make sense in my head. Like with drums, I literally sat down on drums in DJ's basement and I just kind of understood drums. Like I wasn't phenomenal, you know, obviously from day one, but I've always just kind of gotten it. Like I've never really rehearsed much. It came very natural. Guitar was the exact opposite. Like I quit guitar as many times as I quit smoking over the years, and they finally both kind of stuck. but I jammed around with a couple buddies. You know, we'd sit out on the porch and like, you know, drink a little whiskey and play old country songs and stuff. But I think what kind of like, kind of gave it a shot in the ass is, my dad passed away, and, in the hospital, I was listening, to this songwriter called A.A. Bondi, who used to be in a band in the 90s called Verbena. And I was just like during that whole horrible process, like I was just obsessed with this record and like a couple songs in particular. And I don't remember like the exact circumstances, but I picked up the guitar and started playing it and just kind of tried writing, just sort of inspired by, I guess, that situation and like those AA Bondi songs. And so I wrote a couple songs for my dad and kind of discovered that I was a pretty damn good songwriter and just kind of kept going.
Awesome.
So it's really weird to do something new after 20 years of playing drums and only playing drums. But I really enjoy it and it's super uncomfortable and awkward, but that kind of makes me want to do it more. You know, like that tension is kind of a good thing as much as it sucks sometimes. Cause you can't hide. You can't, you know, I'm used to being able to hide behind the drums and.
Yeah. It's all you. It's you with a guitar. It takes big balls to do that. So seriously, like I tip my hat.
It's not the easiest thing, man. I mean, I enjoy it, but I'm nauseated for like 2 days before show.
I bet. You know, backtrack to like you said, you know, losing your old man. I always felt like with music, like certain things come into your life when you're struggling with loss, like especially death, and that's a really cool story, and I'm glad that you were able to share it, you know, because we all go through that. We lose loved ones, and you know, there's certain albums that might remember you of them or help you get through it, you know, and that's really cool how that came about.
Yeah,
shitty circumstance, obviously, but music's really powerful for that. You know, you can reflect back. Or you can persevere and get through things too, you know?
Well, I've honestly felt, and I've gotten some shit from friends and people for writing, you know, just like super like morose, kind of depressing songs. And even the covers I like to play are kind of along those lines. And I've always, I honestly feel like the best songs are like the most depressing.
The dark songs.
I mean, I feel like, try to name five songs that are like super happy, like five awesome super happy like sunny day songs. You probably can't do it.
Probably not.
And like four of the five are going to be John Denver. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And while that only leaves one, like you might not even be able to come up with a fifth. I don't know. I feel like you don't really have all that much to say when things are going great. Maybe you do. I really don't.
No, I agree. I agree with you. Sometimes, well, most of the time, the dark times is what brings out the most in artists, you know, from music to painting a picture to whatever it is that you're into. Like, It's whatever your outlet is to switch that mindset it's a powerful thing. And I think music is the most powerful.
I would just rather, I don't have a whole lot of interest in listening to something and just being like, you know, well, like things are going really super for that guy. Like, I don't know what that says about my personality, but you know, I like listening to people where after you get done hearing them, you're just like, God damn, like that guy's going through something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but that's just always been my jam.
Just seems authentic and realistic, you know, and honest. You know, we all go through some tough times, and when somebody's really bellowing it from their heart, you could tell, you know, you could tell it's not fake. It's not a Britney Spears song or, you know, something extremely poppy and plastic.
It's hard to find those people, man. You got to dig pretty deep these days. I mean, there's a bunch of them out there, but, I mean, even thinking about like what's happened to like modern country radio,
it's rough.
Know, it's a bunch of dumbasses in backward baseball hats, and you know,
yeah, a lot of Coors Light.
All the lyrics are pretty much interchangeable. You know, you got to make sure you talk about sitting on the, you know, the tailgate of a pickup, and you got to call a girl's ass some dumb shit like a sugar shaker, and
right, yeah,
you got to talk about partying at the beach. Like, I mean, it's terrible. It's all terrible.
It is bad, and that's, you know, I wanted to bring you on to kind of set the record straight because we had talked before, and country is the one genre that I'm not really that hip on. Like, and I don't know where to start. I love the old school stuff. Like, I love my Johnny Cash, George Jones, Elvis, Hank Williams, you know, and I think country is really special to me when I listen to those kind of albums because nothing else sounds like it, and it takes you almost back in time. You know, like, that's why I like the old school, like, those particular artists. Like, nothing else sounds like it, and it just takes me out of whatever mindset I'm in, like, almost back in time, so.
Those guys didn't really BS all that much, man. I mean, a little, you know, they played songs that other people wrote, and some things were you know, exaggerated, I guess, for effect. But I mean, you know, George Jones singing a song about being high as hell on pills and, you know, wrapping his Cadillac around a tree like that. That happened a week before he wrote it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, George Jones is the shit. I went to his, his museum. It was awesome.
Those guys lived pretty hard and they wrote about it. And, you know, it's genuine.
Right, right. We're going to get into the country, but I do want to talk about a few bands. Like, we've known each other for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And let's get into that. We're going to get into some alternative, we'll call it alternative rock for right now. But Hum, the band Hum. I remember Stars when I was younger, when that was on the radio, because they're from Illinois, right?
Yeah, they're from Champaign, Illinois, which is kind of dead center in the state of Illinois.
And so I remember that being on the radio, like when we were younger, but then you and your wife, Steph, who's here. What's up, Steph?
Hello.
Hi. you guys are like, hey, you know, you knew I was a huge Deftones fan, and I know you guys like the Deftones too, but you're like, you really got to check out You Prefer an Astronaut. So I did, and there's a lot of, like, I know Chino's come out, and he's like, that really influenced me because he wrote a lot of songs for White Pony. Like, even, like, the album cover itself of White Pony is a ripoff of You'd Prefer an Astronaut.
I didn't know that at all.
You know, because it has the zebra
In
the corner, and then White Pony is basically the same thing, different colors. And then I think Little Dipper, if you listen to Little Dipper and Knife Party, it's basically the same thing. It's just Little Dipper is a lot slower.
Yeah, they're real similar.
And Chino's been open about it. Like, hey, I was listening to that album a lot when I was writing a lot of songs for White Pony, so...
It's got the same rhythm.
It does.
It's pretty much same drum part.
It does. But back to Hum, like, you guys turned me on to them, and I appreciate it, because they're awesome. Like, how did you guys get into them? You know, what's the history on that?
Again, me and DJ, we used to... Long story short, we grew up really religious... And, you know, we could only listen to Christian music for the most part. I mean, aside from, you know, I grew up listening to, like, Creedence Clearwater and, like, Elton John and, like, all the stuff my parents liked. But as far as, like, modern music, it was mostly just Christian bands. Like, they made sure I wasn't listening to anything crazy.
No Black Sabbath?
Sabbath, actually. My old man loves Sabbath. Okay. So I remember waking up for church on Sunday morning to, like, my dad blasting, like, Sabbath 4 and my mom being pissed off because we're supposed to be at church. And he's just like ripping Fairies Wear Boots or something. Sweet. Downstairs. Or I don't even know if that's off Sabbath 4. There's going to be Sabbath purists that rip my ass after this.
It's okay. I don't know. I don't think, I know Snowblind's on that album.
So, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, so you did listen to a little Sabbath. Thank God.
Just through the old man. Like, I'm sure my mom was not pleased at all. But okay. So DJ and I listen to mostly Christian bands. And honestly, believe it or not, there was a really, really cool scene in those days. I don't know if there still is, but there was a lot of awesome Christian punk bands, and we were into ska at the time, which is a little hard to admit, but
Little brass with your punk,
you know. Some, they dress snappy, and they had a dancer on stage. How do you, you know, 15 years old, it doesn't get much better than that.
I remember that
there. It gets much better than that, but
yeah, Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
I wasn't into Bosstones. I was into a couple of Christian bands called the OC Supertones, and then there was a band called Five Iron Frenzy that I actually still listen to once in a while. I think they're a great band, but
never heard of them.
Yeah, they're. I mean, if you can stomach ska, like, they're all right.
Ska's cool. I remember that that time, like mid '90s, right?
When it was
big.
But DJ had a buddy named Nick Osika. Who used to, like, feed us music, and so he'd come home from school and be like, get over here, you got to hear this. And I remember sitting in his living room, which is a room you weren't supposed to sit in. It was, like, that room. Like, his mom had the room where, like, you don't sit on the furniture. That furniture's just for looking.
But sure as hell,
that day, we sat on that damn furniture, and he played Hum, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, what is this? And just fell in love. Like, that's probably... Hum and Smashing Pumpkins are probably neck and neck for, like, my favorite band of all time.
There was always, like, a guitar tone. Like, obviously, I knew about the Pumpkins more when I was younger compared to Hum, but then revisiting it later because of your guys' suggestion, there's something with that guitar tone that is very Smashing Pumpkins, right?
Their records are just incredible. Their last record, which is called Downward is Heavenward, is probably my favorite album of all time. Like, just the songs themselves and just the way that it's recorded, like, everything is just real... I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain.
It's kind of thick.
It's thick as hell. I mean, it's like the heaviest shoegaze band you ever heard. But then at the same time, there's I don't know. And he's Brian St. Pierre's always been one of my favorite drummers. Like, I learned a lot listening to that guy. But yeah, Hum, man. Like, I kind of wish I could be like 16 or 17 and hear Hum for the first time again. Like, it's one of those things. Where
yeah, I enjoy him.
Your mind was just blown.
They just played some shows too, didn't they? Like, within the last couple years.
For the last several years, they'll get back together and do like two or three one-off shows. But it's typically not anywhere around here.
Okay. Yeah, but that's the best way I could describe that guitar tone, and just all the recordings is really, really thick.
You don't want to listen to Hum like on your cell phone. Like, you want to make sure that
something
you got like
bassy.
good speaker. I mean, I'm not an audiophile by any means, but that's a band that you don't want to dick around with. You really want to put it on something decent.
Always like
crank it up.
Ironclad Lou too. That's from their that's got a great heavy tone.
Yeah, that's
on their first album, right? It's just self-titled.
It's technically their second. That record's called Electra 2000. There was one before that called Fellatio that's really not very good. It hurts to say that, but it's the truth.
Well, thank you for being honest. Yeah, but I love Hum, so thanks for showing me them.
Yeah, man.
You know, I mean, I kind of remember when I was younger, but I always go back to them. Always, you know, like I play a little bit of drums to him too sometimes. Like, there's something about his drum style that I don't know.
He's
Steph,
not real.
You play drums too. I mean, you play to Hum. I know you love him. Yeah. Okay.
He's not real busy, but he just has a really cool groove, like the way he locks in with the bass player and stuff.
Like a
I don't
heavy
know.
Hitter too. He's like a heavy hitter, like a Dave Grohl.
He hits harder than hell. Like, seeing that guy live, I didn't really realize that he was like a basher like that, but.
And it works for certain music, but especially them, because, you know, like you said, they have their shoegazy and their melody and their really clean, pretty moments. Yeah. But when it gets heavy, like, that dude is just a perfect drummer for the heaviness.
He does a lot of cool stuff. He uses his hi-hat in kind of weird ways, and he's got kind of a fast foot and kind of fakes, like, double bass stuff sometimes. And I've always done a lot of that.
Okay. Cool. But, yeah. For those that have never listened to Hum, you really need to go out there and do that. Like ASAP. Very,
ASAP.
Very, very good band. Very good band. And then here's, I'll go to another one that you two have turned me on to, and it was years ago, was Refused.
Refused was another Nick Osika band, man. DJ, he called me and come over. I got something to play. And I don't know where Nick at 17 years old, give or take, was finding all these awesome bands, you know, bringing them to Hobart High School on cassette tape, but.
I know Nick. I remember him when I was younger, and then Sam, because Sam was closer age. But I remember Nick always being like great at music discovery, and Sam too. Like, we always related to stuff.
Yeah, I know Nick lives kind of far away, I believe. But if he happens to be listening, thank you very much.
Yeah,
turned me on to a lot of cool stuff.
But Refuse, though, I mean, Shape of Punk to Come, that's the album you guys showed me first, and then I was able to research and check out their older stuff, which is awesome too. Because I love hardcore, and I love hardcore punk. But those guys, like, I saw them live a few years ago
nice.
At the Congress, and then I was able to see them again at Riot Fest, and they were the best performance at Riot Fest. They're a great live band. Like, they are fun. They get the crowd moving. Like, they're just very entertaining.
I don't even know if I could handle Refuse live. Like, I certainly couldn't have when heard them. Like, I probably would have pissed my pants, but... That record ripped my face off when I first heard it. Like, we'd listen to heavy bands. I mean, again, like in the Christian scene in those days, there were a bunch of really good hardcore metal bands. But Jesus, the first time I heard that Refused record, it was, I don't know, just one of those things, man. Like, again, like, you can't really relive it.
Yeah, you guys like pulled me to the side. I remember it vividly. It was like a Christmas party you had at your apartment, and you guys, like, you ever heard them? I'm like, yeah, I kind of heard them. Like, no, have you ever listened to it? I'm like, you like sit down, like you guys made me sit down, like, all right, cool. And I was like, yeah, they're badass. Like, it was a strong impression, and that album was a great album.
When I first started hanging out with Stephanie, you know, she was several years younger, and I don't know, not to sound like a dick, but I wasn't really expecting too much out of her CD collection. And I remember flipping through in her car and finding Shape of Punk to Come. Okay. Well,
will you marry me?
Right then and there.
Right then, is that how it happened?
No, but I was pretty impressed that a, you know, 17-year-old girl had this crazy German commie hardcore band in her CD collection.
Yeah, they were borderline communists.
They were more than borderline communists.
From Sweden. I'll correct you. Yeah, they're Swedish.
Oh, they were Swedish.
Not
Jesus,
German. But
I'm sorry.
It's okay, but yeah, they're awesome. Shape of Punk to come.
Do you want to start this podcast over? Because I screwed that up.
No, it's okay. Well, Refuse might come after you. You know, but yeah, I love Refuse. And
what did you think of the new record? Like, I can't remember what it's called.
Garbage.
Yeah.
It's like garbage, hot garbage water.
I remember listening. I was excited as hell. I even told DJ, I was heading to the gym, and I was like, man, I got this new Refuse joint. It's going to go off for chest day. Yeah. Chest day is going to be lit as hell.
Yeah, chest day turned into like calf day.
I don't even think I made it through. I think after like the fourth or fifth song, I was so disappointed. I think I put on like Taylor Swift or something afterwards just to cleanse the palate. But.
Yeah, I was bummed. That's like one of those things with certain bands, like they're gone for so long and they try it again and they just epically fail.
I was shocked how bad it was.
It was bad. And I was ticked off too because Dark Matter Coffee, they're a big coffee place in Chicago. My friend lives next to them, the Mothership, and they have these cool promotional things where they make a certain blend of coffee and they name it after a band. And they had a Refused batch. And it came with that album as a cassette, and he got it for me for Christmas. I was like, cool, like I still have a cassette player because I'm a nerd and I'm a dork. So then I put it in, and he's like, how was it, dude? I'm like, it was awful, but thanks for the gift, yeah. You know? But yeah, it's not really a good album. Just go back to the old stuff.
That was a sad day.
It was a sad day. And you know who else just did that, too, was At the Drive-In. I love At the Drive-In, but that new album was bad.
This sounds weird because we were just talking about Refuse, but At the Drive-In was always a little too caustic for me. Like, there's something about them when they was just too spastic, and like I didn't like his voice. And I had like a brief little like flicker of a moment where I kind of dug on At the Drive-In, but they were just a little too much.
Okay. I love them. I love them. And I like Mars Volta too.
Mars Volta, you got to be in the right mood, man.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do for sure.
They're excellent players. They had a just ridiculously good drummer for a minute. I don't know if he still plays with them, Thomas Pridgen.
Yeah, he was a professional skateboarder too. Do you know that?
Pridgen?
Yeah. He's a badass. Very, very talented dude. Very talented. I know who you're talking about. Like
he was just a skinny black dude with real cool hair. Just beat
and
the living
up the drum
balls game. Out of the drum yeah. set.
He's a bad dude. Bad dude. And last but not least, as far as the bands too, you guys pull me to the side and put me on point. Mets, and I went and saw them last year. I asked you guys to go, but you had to work. But thank you for showing me Mets, because that is just like total noise assault to my ears. And there's nothing pretty about it, and there's nothing phony about it. It's just some real badass three-piece noise rock grunge awesomeness.
Yeah, they're dirty, man. That record, the first one anyway, the second one I didn't love too much, but again, like their drummer kind of makes that band for me.
They're the loudest band ever.
You probably saw them in a little club too, huh?
Yeah, I saw them at Talia Hall in Pilsen, and that place is awesome. I love that venue. It's my new favorite venue.
I've only seen one show there. I think it was the last time we were in Chicago. Yeah, we saw...
Lucero.
Yeah, we saw Lucero there.
Oh, I love Lucero. You guys turned me on to them too.
Did we?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Drink Till We're Gone.
I'm looking forward to their new record.
Love that, song.
I don't look forward to a whole lot of things these days, but their new record, I'm really excited about.
Do they
about.
Still keep putting out quality tunes?
Yeah, they're recording right now.
Okay, I didn't know that. I don't follow them that close, but I'll definitely keep an eye out. But yeah, Mets. Thank you for showing me Mets.
Mets is crazy. The first time I mean, hearing them was great. The first time I saw them play like in a video... Their drummer kind of scared me. He hits so hard, but he's really precise and not even like crazy technical. Just you feel it. I don't know. That sounds stupid, but
no, you feel it. Yeah, they hit hard. The bass is awesome. Like the rhythm section is really strong because he's playing some crazy noisy chords and he goes off on his little tangent. So their backbone is strong. That's, you know, and I love rhythm. I'm a bass player. I play drums too. Like,
sure.
So yeah, they're just an awesome band. I love them.
Joe, before you move on, I have a random question because you mentioned Talia Hall. Do you get to go out to shows often? And if you do, do you have favorite venues? Are there certain places that you like? Like, is there somewhere in Chicago? I have like two or three of my favorites are, you know, do you guys have favorite places to listen to music or like a place that you've seen a really, really good show?
There's not that many people I even care to journey out to sea anymore. There's a handful where if they're around, I'm going to make it happen. And I try to avoid Chicago at all costs. Like, I really hate the city. I do. I just I don't like being up there. It freaks me out. But luckily, a lot of people we listen to will go to, like Bloomington, Illinois, or Indy, or we saw a really cool show. One of my favorite songwriters, John Moreland, he played in this this tiny little record shop. It wasn't super tiny. Tiny compared to a venue. Where was that? Goshen?
It was in Goshen, but I can't remember what
it was called. High Octane Records or something like that. And he just plays solo with a guitar like I do. But it was awesome. There was like maybe 50 people there. It was super intimate. So I like little places that are off the beaten path and you don't have to drive in the city.
Nice.
I'm going to have to drive you out to Old Town School of Folk Music. It's super intimate. I think the bottom has maybe seating for, I don't know, 50 to 75, okay. And then they have an upper area, and it's just a real small place.
I saw a show there years ago.
I really like that place. I'm going to go see a guy that from Hawaii at the end of the month, Joe. I might end up convincing you because it's in the middle of the week.
To go to Hawaii?
No. Oh. Just to see this.
Pack light, buddy.
Right.
I think Sretton's up to something.
All right.
I'm always up to something.
Always. He's got a trick up his sleeve. You can't.
But yeah, I just want to know.
Yeah, cool. And I'm glad you brought up John Moreland because we'll go back to country. And when I hit you up, I know that's the direction you're going with your solo stuff. And I asked you about some artists that are influential to you and your sound and that you just love. And he was one of them. And I dug it, you know, like, I don't know. What would you call the style of music as far as the artists that you sent me that to check out and then what you're doing? You know, it's not necessarily outlaw country.
Not at all.
Right. What would you call it?
I think it's getting to the point of being overused these days, but I think Americana kind of fits because it sort of covers, you know, like folk rock bands and singer-songwriters and kind of the low-key country guys, several of whom made that list. So it kind of really doesn't mean anything, I guess, but like maybe that's for the best so you don't pigeonhole yourself into a bunch of sort of like obnoxious subgenres.
Right, yeah, Americana. I dig it. It makes sense. It's perfect. What about Jason Isbell? I dug that too.
He's one of those guys, man, that I could just I it's hard to find the words, man. That guy means a lot to me. He started in a band called Drive-By Truckers, which was a really cool band. It had three excellent guitar players and three excellent songwriters, which is kind of rare. So every record, you had songs from three different songwriters.
Okay.
Which some people don't care for. I've talked to some people that really aren't into that. I don't really see why, because I think that's awesome. Because they all wrote real differently, but, you know, all three people's songs always stood out on the records. And then, you know, as what happens in bands, you know, they parted ways. He started playing solo and just has put out one just amazing record after another.
What's your favorite record by him? If you got to suggest one for everybody to check out. Putting you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I'd say like the older stuff, just a touch better than the new stuff. He's got a record called Here We Rest. It came out probably, I don't know, 2010-ish. I might be off, but that's if I had to pick a favorite, like that's probably it.
What about Tyler Child, how do you say it?
Childers. Tyler Childers, my buddy Alan turned me on to him. He's just a soft-spoken guy from Kentucky who saw play on like some YouTube videos. Just has a really, really good voice. He has kind of a...
I did like his voice.
Yeah, it's real raspy but powerful. He has kind of a unique songwriting and guitar playing style, actually, but just writes really good, honest, like cool songs.
I love
songs.
Honest, cool country. Like all these dudes you turn me on to, like I get that vibe for sure. Nothing cookie cutter here.
I these days, man, like I don't even really go out and hunt for like rock bands and stuff anymore.
This is what you're hunting for.
I listen to a little bit of everything. I mean, I listen to a little hip hop and a little heavy stuff once in a while, but more so than not, or more times than not, rather, I'd just rather have somebody that can really write a good song. And production and stuff like that isn't even the least bit important to me. And in fact, like working on this record that I'm about to put out, there were a bunch of times where my singer and anchors, you know, helped me produce it and want to do something one way. And I just kind of just want to do it like the most ghetto way possible, like just simple and dirty.
That's how we like it here at the Green Door.
I don't like bells and whistles. And so a lot of these records are just recorded, like John Moreland records his records at his parents' house, like in Oklahoma, I believe, you know, tracks the drums in the bedroom. And the records sound cool. Like, they don't sound overproduced and polished. They just sound like really good, you know, just like American rock records.
All right. Steph, you're into this genre too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who do you like better, Isbell and Moreland?
Cage match.
Who would win in a fight?
It's hard to say because I think they're kind of different animals. And you got to be in a different headspace to listen to John Moreland than Jason Isbell sometimes, you know?
Lyrically? Because what they're singing about or what?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Like the Isbell stuff, I think, is a little less heavy. Well, it's a lot less heavy in some respects in terms of content and the songwriting and stuff, you know? So I don't know. I like them both. For different reasons, I guess you could say.
Okay, cool. Back to your album. Let's touch on that. You know, your singer-songwriter, your solo stuff. Is it available? Is it done? Like, what's going on?
I've been saying this for 2 months, but it's like 2 hours away from being done.
It's official now. You're on Musically Meditated, man. People are going to want
I've
this
got
album.
Like one.
There's no more. No
one
more
afternoon
on
of like master mixing, and then, you know, I'm gonna make CDs and put it on Spotify. And
this is what I heard. This is what I heard around like Halloween. Like Steph's like, yeah, I'd really like
I
to
know,
show
man.
You stuff. It's really good, but you won't let me show it to you.
That's what sucks these days, man. I've been
like, all right.
Been trying to get a 7-song record out for like damn near a year, but it's hard at this age, man. You're working around people's schedules and.
For sure.
I played half the record is just me singing and playing live, just acoustic songs, and then the other half is full band. and I played all the drums and all the guitar and did all the vocals, but I had to bring in bass players and brought in my buddy Bradley to play lap steel on one song, and which doesn't really sound like a big deal, but I mean it's hard to get.
So
all
there
those...
is live instrumentation going on. It's
yeah.
not just okay, cool. It's not just you with the guitar. I mean, are there songs just you solo dolo or?
Yeah, there's three just me solo, which we just track live in our practice space. Like I said, I like things as simple as possible.
Cool.
And then there's four songs that are full band.
Sweet. And as far as, you know, downloading it or where could people find this when it does come out?
I will have CDs for old dudes like me that still, you know,
rock
like CDs. And then Spotify. And Bandcamp, which is what I've been using now. It's jasonsummerhill.bandcamp.com. I've got a little 5-song demo that you can get for free up on there right now. Cool. And the new record will be up there also for free.
Yeah, we'll definitely promote it, and we'll have it in all the listings, you know.
You could sell them here.
You could sell them here.
Nice.
At the Green Door.
Right on.
That's right. That's
I just,
right.
I'm going to have, I don't think I'm the kind of guy that's going to get crazy with merch or anything. Like, I don't think anybody wants like a t-shirt with my face on it.
I do.
Come on, I mean, dude. I'd wear one myself, but.
Yeah, you always get good t-shirts. Like the Anchors one was tight.
Steph and like my grandma would probably rock one. Like,
oh, we'll rock it. We need some stickers too.
I might do stickers just because it would probably be fun and they're cheap, but
like
I'm
going
to make CDs
inches.
And just to have something that shows if people like what they're hearing. You know, like the breweries and little places I've been playing.
Yeah, some places that you've played, where what's going on? I know you did some places in Valpo, right?
There's a winery and cidery in Valpo called Aftermath. Played there along with my singer and anchors, Dave. Running Vines Winery in Chesterton, played there. I'm playing there this Saturday at 7 p.m. Coming up... February 9th, I'll be at Tapestry Brewing in Bridgman, Michigan. February 23rd, I'll be at Wild Rose Brewing. That's the full band. That's Anchors.
Okay.
And
where's
then,
that at?
Wild Rose?
Yeah.
I don't know the street. It's like kind of like the main drag in Griffith.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they had an, I know the one brewery, what's it? Oberflaws or I never
New Oberfalls.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool shit happening in Griffith.
Yeah.
These
Griffith
days.
Is really, really, really cool. I'm impressed with what they're doing there for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I've got some irons in the fire. I don't have I only have half of my weekends available right off the bat with my work schedule. So, I'm not trying to get too crazy with booking, but I'm also trying to kind of play out as much as I can just for experience. And, you know, it's fun when I get over the crippling anxiety and nausea.
You got this, man. You got this. But it does. It takes big balls to do this, you know, just to do it yourself. Now, with everyone that's jumped in, you know, buddies playing bass and you know, are you going to do a full band thing eventually? Is that in the works or?
Yeah, that's kind of the goal, man. I was hoping to have already had that up and running by this point, but again, you just people's
schedules.
It's hard, man, in your mid-30s to get stuff like that done.
Steph, you still going to play drums? Can I put that out? Can I put that out there?
You can.
Okay, cool.
That's the plan, anyways. Once we get it together,
are you guys still
she's
jamming?
She's my secret weapon.
Oh well, it's not a secret anymore. It's out there. It's out there. But I mean, have you guys jammed at all, like at home and
together?
Yeah.
We haven't. Okay. He just played me some mixes of the album that's about to come out with the drum tracks, so I'm a little familiar with, you know, sound wise where he's going with that. So, yeah.
I figured since.
It's like some really good country stuff, like husband and wife, but like
yeah,
on the drums.
In fact,
seriously though, that's cool.
Jason Isbell tours with his wife, Amanda Shires, who has a real successful solo career.
Okay.
Of her own.
Is she
and
good?
Makes really good records. Her last record, it's probably one of my favorites of this past year.
Cool. Came out last year, like 17. Like 16, that doesn't really matter, but
I think
good.
So.
Okay.
I think it was stuff. 17.
What about this Coulter? Is that how you say his name? Coulter Wall?
Yeah. Coulter Wall is just this skinny redheaded kid from Saskatchewan, Canada that, kind of looks like a 6 foot tall Opie Taylor.
Does he look like King Cruel? Have you ever listened to King Cruel?
King Cruel? No.
With a beard.
He looks like King Cruel with
and
a beard.
Long hair.
Is this the dude that you like? Oh, okay. We'll
I
get
do
to
like
that.
This. I watched
Coulter.
Jason. Yeah, I watched the Joe sent me a list of the stuff you listened to or the stuff we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I listened to one or two songs of each everybody on the list, and I liked it. I thought it was crazy. It was there was a live YouTube song that he was playing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was if that's his voice live, I need to see him live because it sounded so produced. It's very distinct, and I can't believe it comes out of that body.
That's exactly right. When I first heard him play, he's a tall beanpole. I think he's 22 years old, maybe.
Just a kid.
He steps up to the mic and it's just like this deep, thick baritone. Like you don't expect it at all. You know, in fact, like Steve Earle I was listening to a podcast and he was talking about how Coulter's you know, probably like his favorite new artist, and he couldn't believe the voice when he first heard it.
Coming from Steve Earle, that's
coming from Steve Earle, like shit, you could do a lot worse, you know, as far as endorsements go. But
I love Steve Earle. Man.
Steve was just like, yeah, I thought that he was putting everybody on. I thought it was just like a gimmick or something, but that's really his voice.
That's really his deal. Okay,
and
cool.
He writes better songs than like a 22-year-old kid from like rural Canada should probably be writing, but.
One of those hidden gems.
Yeah, he's excellent.
Yeah, Steve Earle. My dad was always a huge Steve
really?
Earle guy. Yeah, always.
I didn't know that.
Always. Dude, he likes
I can't really
guys.
Picture your dad listening to Steve Earle.
He loves Steve Earle. Yeah, he goes through his phases like all of us. But yeah, that's who turned me on to Steve Earle. Let's move on to Turnpike.
Troubadours.
Troubadours. That was... No, that's not the one I was thinking, but what's up with them?
You know, I think my guitar player... In Anchors, CJ and his wife turned us on to that band. I think we were actually traveling to Illinois to see Jason Isbell play, and they were playing some of it. And I can't remember. I think they're from Oklahoma. I'm
Is it Americana?
Certain.
Did you say it's Americana
yeah,
style?
Yeah, they're like a new country, you know, rock band, I guess.
Steph, would you say it's Americana?
Yes.
All right. They're just a really solid band. They write really good songs. So I've been listening to quite a bit of them lately.
All right. What's the tortoise? Trampled by turtles.
Trampled by turtles.
That was my favorite tortoise. You know, same difference. But that was my favorite thing that you sent me.
Okay.
How would you describe that? Like black metal, bluegrass? Like
they're
doing some crazy shit on the guitars.
They're just modern bluegrass. They're just a five piece string band. And a lot of people are doing that kind of stuff these days. There's a bunch of bands that don't do it nearly as well as them, in my opinion. I got into them with my buddy Adam years ago when I first kind of started playing guitar a little bit, and just got real bored looking for new rock bands, and just kind of, whenever that happens, I either go way far back and start listening to like dance bands from the 40s or like old blues singer, just something new.
Some John Coltrane. You ever mess with some John Coltrane?
Never been
some
a Coltrane jazz? Fan.
Damn it.
He's too weird. He's too out there, man. I don't like jazz. It gives you a headache.
Okay.
I mean, he's a phenomenal player. He did some real cool stuff early on.
Bite your tongue, Jason.
He did some cool stuff real early on with Thelonious Monk. I like that stuff, the Riverside stuff.
He's on My Kind of Blue by Miles Davis, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
But the stuff that's like stuff that's popular, like Love Supreme, and so it's just too noisy.
All right.
I know it's not going to win me fans with the
avant-garde jazz world. It's okay. I got us off
jazz
topic,
world.
But, you know, Trampled by Turtles
are just, I started listening to just like more country and more acoustic type music, and can't even remember like how I found those guys, but just kind of fell in love with them, and they were kind of all I listened to for probably like six solid months.
Okay. Like to play that fast, like especially with bluegrass with acoustic guitars or, you know, banjos, like it's very impressive. Like, and they tear it up. Like that's what got my attention right away with them was their guitar playing, and they covered a Pixies track too.
Yeah, they
which one was it?
They've done Where's My Mind.
Yeah, Where's My Mind
for quite a while, and that I don't think it made it on a record. Maybe it did.
No, I listened to it.
Like
it
an
was
EP
on,
or something.
It was on Spotify. Yeah, Where's My Mind. Yeah, like I was really impressed with that.
They actually do a really cool job of that cover.
Yeah, it's a great cover.
But I like that band because they'll play super super fast, like hand going numb bluegrass. But then they'll slow it down and write really pretty ballads and stuff too, which I kind of prefer, because like the fiddle player opens up, you know, like melodically a little bit. He's not just shredding.
Shredding like shredding. What up?
Just like shredding.
All right, but
I can't even say my own name right now.
Yeah, you can, man.
That could be a podcast where Shredden just reviews like old Megadeth records and stuff.
We need that. Some Dave Mustaine reviews.
We're working on it.
But what about Ryan Bingham or Bingham?
Ryan Bingham is a songwriter from Texas who kind of his claim to fame was a song called "The Weary Kind" that made it onto the Crazy Heart soundtrack. And he got, I guess not real big, but I think he won a Grammy.
He won an Oscar for that song.
I think he won an Oscar.
Was it an Oscar?
Yeah.
That song,
okay. Is that your guy?
Yeah, yeah, I like him.
Okay.
That's the guy on the list I knew. Doesn't mean anything.
It does, though. I mean, you told me you like him and you rock him.
I think he's great. He's got a very distinct voice that he says that his voice wasn't like that when he first started playing, and he would just hop around little different like rodeo bars around Austin and around Texas, and he blew out his voice. So now when he sings, it sounds like when you strain your voice. So it sounds a little like, correct me if I'm wrong, like a little Bob Dylan-ish, but
a little nasally.
His voice is shot, but it sounds great. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's almost like a guy, you know, had to go make a record and he got like, you know, like bronchitis the night before, still pushed on through and made it.
Yeah.
But I like his voice a lot, but it is, it's super ragged. I'm sure sucking, you know, cigarette smoke and Texas honky tonks for years
and
didn't help that at all.
Old granddad whiskey probably don't help.
Yeah, yeah. I got to see him live once, and you could tell that he's a good singer, but that his voice is ripped up. Like, it was crazy. He would hold a note, and it didn't sound like a clean note because his voice is messed up. But it sounded really good.
It works for him, man.
Yeah,
if it,
yeah.
If If he was real clean and, you know, sounded like Justin Timberlake or somebody, it wouldn't really
that's
work.
What I, you know, when you sent me this list, that's what I was looking for. Like, you know, when I brought up older artists, like country artists that I like, I want an original voice, you know, like I was really looking for that. I like this list, but it didn't, there wasn't like a particular track that I was like, oh man, you know, like it really, really got my attention. And where I'm going with that, what's his name? He's won a ton of, we've talked about him before. He's got the beard, the cowboy hat. His wife sings with him too.
I think that's Chris Justin Stapleton. Timberlake.
Yeah. No, yeah. Thank you, Shredden.
Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton. I think he's got a good voice.
Stapleton's got an amazing voice. He's a hell of a guitar player too.
He does
too.
It for me. You know, like he's got like a little Stevie Ray Vaughan there, but this album that he came out with like two EPs last year. They were very impressive. One was a little bit more blues, rock and roll, and then the other one was all country.
I wish I liked him more.
Okay.
I love his voice. I love his playing. There's something about his songwriting. I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't grab me like a lot of those other guys.
And he did that for a while because we talked about this before. Like, he was a professional songwriter.
Oh, yeah. He had a publishing deal in Nashville. He wrote songs for people for years. So I'm not saying he's bad at it by any means. I just... you know, he doesn't grab me.
We also talked about when Luke was on. We talked about he's a huge fan of Sturgill Simpson. Do you listen to any of his music?
Yeah, Sturgill's another one of those guys that I kind of stumbled across like through friends, you know, through a handful of buddies that we kind of got into that stuff over the last several years. Again, probably just getting bored with like trying to find rock bands and stuff like that. But yeah, Sturgill, he's great. I've got to be kind of in the right mood for him since he started going down that sort of like acid country road.
I keep hearing this term. I mean, I've checked him out, but I'm still trying to make
Sturgill's like he's a weird guy, man. Like he's ex-military, but he's also really
that's a good album. You ever hear that album by Death Grips?
No, ex-military.
Yeah, it's really good. Check it out. But go ahead.
But like, I know he wears like those like Kanye West, like Yeezy boots when he plays. And he's just an odd, he's really into like, I've heard him on podcasts. He's really into like psychedelic drugs and talks about like DMT and shit like that. He's an interesting cat.
Okay. Fair enough. No. What about vinyl, man? Are you still on the vinyl tip? You still collect records? Have you bought any recently? Are you still spending any?
It's been a long time since I bought really anything. I kind of started the record collecting, and thank you again for your hand-me-down turntable. One of the few things that I have from my old man are these Pioneer speakers that he brought back from South Korea, where he was stationed at the tail end of Vietnam. And they're gorgeous. Like you don't, you know.
What size are they?
Like the cabs?
Yeah. Are they 10s? Are they 12s? Are they 15s?
See, Pioneer made all these. It was the CS line. They for years made a bunch of different variations.
This is from like the 60s then?
Early 70s.
Okay.
I'm not even sure that the model that I've got, but there's I think it's a 12-inch woofer.
Yeah, the woofer. Yeah, I'm asking about the woofer.
But then they've got like all the configurations are weird, man. Like I've seen them. It's got like a 10-inch and then like six little tweeters. I've seen mine, I think, is like a 12-inch and then two threes or something like that. They're all different, but they're really collectible. And for
that's really cool.
Having sat out for a lot of years in like our garage
did
growing
they dry
up,
rot and stuff.
No.
Like, cool.
Like one of the little tweeters on each one did, and I tried to find like new old stock on eBay and fix them a while back, and I really didn't do a very good job. But they still sound amazing for whatever reason. They shouldn't work at all, but they do. And I just wanted to hook something up to that and just have those in my house and use them, you know, because they were his. And so I just thought, you know, vinyl would be a little cooler than hooking up like a little stupid CD player to.
Super hip, yeah, yeah.
So I've got, you know, I like old jazz. I like old blues. Got some rock stuff, but I don't really collect.
Were they all hand-me-downs or...
I was buying for a while. Like I had a couple little like thrift shops and stuff around here that I'd hit, but I don't know. It's kind of just I hate to say like a phase, but
Still got them though.
I still got them. Cool. I got some cool stuff.
Really cool. Okay, one more time. where can we find you at online? And when are you playing again? Just one more time.
Sure. When this record is finished, which again, it should be any day now, hopefully, I'll have CDs at shows. I know, man. I know. it will be on Spotify. If you just search Jason Summerhill, I haven't set that up yet, but hopefully that's easy to navigate. And then my Bandcamp, which is jasonsummerhill.bandcamp.com. Be playing this Saturday at Running Vines Winery in Chesterton, February 9th at Tapestry Brewing in Bridgman, Michigan. Full band Anchors with me on drums will be at Wild Rose Brewing in Griffith, February 23rd. And got some stuff coming up later in the spring and summer. It's not quite solidified yet.
But. Yeah, we'll plug it for sure. We'll have you on again. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for having
me. And Steph, thanks for coming too.
Thanks for having me.
That's right. That's right. Now we're going to close it out with some live stuff. So thanks for coming
out. Yeah, man. Let's do this again sometime. Right.
I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right.
That night I looked around. I'd burn a few more bridges down. 50 miles away from home now. Start seeing signs I recognize. Now I need to cry, but I forgot how. Blood from a stone over empty eyes. From a stone over empty eyes. I was born with a restless heart. Lord, I was born with a restless heart. Not give anything to know where you as hell, practicing my preaching, and I can't help but shake my head. What I once believed in, fallacies and fairy tales, rusty nails and inconsistencies. Sometimes it still feels hard to breathe. Honestly, I've tried to find an easy way to quiet down my thoughts, while the poison helps me to find sleep, sure to wake up lost. There's just too many songs and books and anchors to latch on to. Long enough to learn all that I want to. Maybe if I just close my eyes and imagine stormy skies, fresh ice and a few new chords help clear out my mind. When brighter days grew bleak, now there's enough demons between us to haunt someone's dreams for weeks. And I've apologized 1,000 times for running out of words and out of steam. And some days I beg the night to take me honestly. Decide what's real. Always pulled in two directions, the facade and the reveal. Staring too closely at a canvas, start to notice cracks. Feel like the remnants of a bad train wreck, somehow stayed on track. Maybe if I just close my eyes and imagine stormy skies, fresh ice and a few new chords help clear out my mind. Well, sick as hell, feeling like a stranger, shifting seamlessly between anxiety and anger. There's wolves out in the street, chaos manages to masquerade as peace. And sometimes it overwhelms me, honestly. Maybe if I just close my eyes and imagine stormy skies, fresh ice and a few new chords help clear out my mind. Fresh ice and a few new chords can help clear out my mind. Fresh ice and a